honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with 90-year-old Navy veteran Roland Dorfer of Apopka, Florida. At Hometown Heroes, we believe every vet has a story worth telling. This interview was recorded at VFW Post 10147 in Apopka, where just like so many other veterans organizations around our country, vets of different eras, different genders, different ethnic backgrounds, different tax brackets, different politics, well, they all find common ground in their shared service to our country. And they really provide an example for the rest of us in these ever more divisive days. Roland served in the Navy during the Korean War, and in the months and years ahead, we may be hearing from more Korean War veterans on Hometown Heroes, which, as you know, has focused almost exclusively on World War II veteran stories for the last 15 years. Don't forget to head to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook for photos and a short video with Roland, who, much like most sailors I've met all over America, can tell you exactly how long he was in the Navy.
3 years, 9 months, and 4 days.
Well, and that's what I wanted to hit on. I mean, so 3 years, 9 months, 4 days, some of the best years of your life from a physical perspective, right? You're in the prime of your life, a young man.
I wouldn't trade that Navy experience for anything. But the odd thing was, for all my intent on becoming a photographer, a few months before I got out, I changed my mind. After I came back from Europe the second time, I'd gone to Greece, Italy again, been in France, and I saw all these ruins and all this historical stuff. And I said, I've always been a history fan. I always got my best grades in history. I said, well, you know, why don't I share this stuff with kids, you know? So then I told my first wife, I said, I want to be a teacher. Well, of course, she was more matter-of-fact than I was. I said, oh, okay. So I was in Norfolk at the time, and I could have gone to school there at what's now Old Dominion. But I chose to go back to Kansas, and I went to Fort Hays State, became a teacher. And that's another feature about me. I'm always looking at the other side of the fence. I taught for 8 or 9 years, and then I looked at administration. Well, maybe I can do more for teachers as an administrator. And that was a sincere feeling. So I went to Wichita State and got my master's in that. Got my assignment in downtown Wichita, worst year in my life. A vice principal in a culture that's a third black, a third Latino, and a third poor white. It was constant battle every day. And I feel for anyone that's an assistant principal. Most of them come out well, you know, but boy, that was too much for me. So I packed up my family and went back to Norfolk, and I went to teach in high school there. Then I saw something else. The National Education Association was putting together a field staff to represent teachers. And I thought, wow, now that I'd like. So since Virginia was 2 years behind Kansas in the program, we moved back to Kansas. Took a job as a principal and English teacher in a small town just 18 miles from my hometown. And I said, I'll stay there until I can get a job as a field staff person. Of course, the interesting thing there was Brewster was right on the timeline between Mountain and Standard Time. So every time I went to work, I lost an hour. And when I went home, I gained an hour. All I had to do was leave the school and go down the highway, turn right, time changed. So anyway, I did get that job and became field staff person around the city of Wichita. Followed up with a job in Fairfax County outside of Washington. And quite frankly, I burned out. I was not emotionally ready for that. I've gotten an idea of feeling that, you know, if you look on the other side of the fence and the grass looks greener, make sure it's not artificial grass.
How long ago did you figure that out?
Oh, well, I retired health-wise in 1986. So I've been retired ever since then.
But working harder than ever around the VFW post, from what I understand, huh?
That's not work. If you enjoy it, you know, you don't really consider it work.
And how long have you been part of this post?
4 years. After I met Judy in 1990, We did a lot of volunteer work with an international organization, AR, Association of Research and Enlightenment. Ever since then, our lives have been pretty much volunteer. We left there in 2006 and came here after we had a tough time with the housing bust of 2006. Went to South Florida, lived there for a while. Went to South Carolina 2 years. My oldest daughter passed away, and so that's what took us to South Carolina. And then we came down here after it just didn't work out for us there, and we found this establishment. What the people here don't seem to understand, that, you know, they appreciate everything we do, but they need to know that what we do is for us as well. It's an outlet for our creativity that we know we have. We found it in other volunteer groups, but here we've been able to really take it to a wonderful height.
Tell me some of the things you've done around this place in the short 4 years you've been here.
Well, it started in the museum back there, and I showed you that. Half of that was storage, and there was just stuff all over the place on the one half. And so I don't remember exactly how it proceeded, but I told the commander that, I could help out in there and make that a little bit more suitable for showing. Yeah, the library, there are a lot of books in there. A lot of them were in boxes, a lot of other things. We found stuff in boxes they didn't even know they had, really. Well, the first thing I did was build additional shelves in there for the books. I built about 16 feet of additional four-level shelves. And then I asked her to finish it, to do the finish work on it, the staining. So that was her involvement. And then I built some storage cabinets in there for other stuff. Again, she did the finish work on it. Then the podium up there is my production. They had one, but it was dilapidated and had been dropped a couple times.
For the city.
So this is the podium you use at all your events here at the VFW. It's got the VFW emblem there on the face of it. It's got a beautiful finish on it and professionally crafted. And the mayor of Apopka was impressed with that?
Oh, yeah. 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 He wanted one like it. So I built one for him, and he uses it. Then the cabinet down there. And over here, what we had before over here were rows of curtains. Blue curtains to hide the extra tables and extra chairs, and everybody complained about them immensely. So I one night, this has been about 3 years ago, during the night I came up with a plan. I got up and put it on paper, and that afternoon took it to Andy to show him, I can do this for you. He didn't bat an eyelash. Go ahead. So it took me 4 months, maybe, working a couple days a week, and more often than she liked. But finally, I built these two are full of chairs. That one's an extra storage. The other three over there are full of chairs, and there's extra storage in this end unit. And that pretty well took up that need. I built that little table up there that's got the information on it. And one of our members liked that so well, he asked me to build one for his house for a desk. So he's got that. The base for the flags back up there on the stage, the one that was there isn't enough, and now that one's not enough. When we get our Space Force flag, we won't have any room for it. So I figured we'll just cut that in half, put the Space Force flag up there, and build a separate one for the U.S. flag. We'll worry about that when we get the Space Force flag.
Well, it sounds like, just paying attention and listening, it sounds like you spend a lot of time either here at the VFW or working on projects for the VFW.
That's essentially true. It varies according to what the demand for the time is.
Why do you devote so much of your time and talent to fixing this place up and making it better?
Because I know I've got the time, and I know I have the talents to do it, so this is an opportunity to express that.
And what is it about this organization that you see so much value in or find it worthwhile?
It's good, and for what I just said, that I get the satisfaction out of it, and I know that the members at large appreciate it. Like a lot of organizations, there's not a lot of people don't do much. You know, the 20% in an organization do the work for 80%. And that's no different here. So I feel like some of it, and maybe this is egotistical, if I don't do it, it won't get done. People sometimes spend more time talking about it, saying we ought to do this and we ought to do that, and no one identifies who we is.
So I guess the other question that comes to mind, how long are you going to keep doing this?
As long as I'm able. I will say that my grandmother on my mother's side lived to be 2 months shy of 100. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't know anybody that was older than 60. I didn't think about old age. And then for most of my life, I didn't think about old age, sometimes to my detriment. But someone asked, occasionally, said, well, what do you do to do this? And I said, well, it's a matter of attitude and activity. You think young and you act young. Now, some things, you know, you can't do, so you don't do them unless you can do it in sections or, you know, little at a time. I get fussed at because I get up on a ladder. Well, that doesn't bother me a great deal. So, yeah, it's a matter of attitude and activity and the faith of pushing on.
And specifically with regard to your time in the Navy, is there something you look back on now and you feel like that taught you something or did something for you or changed your perspective in a way that's been meaningful the rest of your life?
The Navy gave me a sense of self-discipline. If I hadn't gone into the Navy, I'm afraid I would have carried that teenage lackadaisical attitude and not getting myself organized to the point of being who I should be. It gave me a sense of direction. I mean, I didn't have anyone tell me what to do like a petty officer does in boot camp. There's no questions. You don't say, no, I'll do it later. you do it. So I learned a sense of discipline, and that has carried me through.
I guess I should ask you, too, with all the photography you did, was there one particular photograph that you took during those years that maybe you're most proud of now?
Unfortunately, I didn't even take a picture of that statue of Michelangelo. I was just too awestruck. Some of the pictures I've taken, I don't have anymore. While I was in the North Sea, I took a picture of the water that I'd never seen so clear and deep. Off of Labrador, the water was cold and it was the deepest blue, like the Mediterranean in certain areas too. I did take pictures with the president of Liberia, with the admiral. I did meet a president, even though he was a dictator. You know, that's okay. I have amassed probably 40,000 images, cut it down some, but there's been a love of photography there. It's hard to think of anyone right now.
How about advice for young photographers?
For someone who's young and wants to be a photographer, it's like wanting to be just about anything else in life. It's going to be a tough row to hoe. It'll take patience. It'll take continued effort to submit the pictures and improve the ability to see a picture before you've taken it, and then to be able to work with it to perfect it. It's like any other profession. It just takes a lot of focus and a lot, no pun intended, it takes a lot of focus and a lot of work.
Well, if there's anything else you want to add, feel free, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for the way you serve your fellow veterans here at the VFW. Is there something, when you think back over 90 years, that you'd say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, you know, it's like George Burns used to say, at my age, I'm thankful to be anywhere. So that's, I guess my sense of gratitude is what has really grown more than anything. And my feeling of what love is really all about. I feel like I didn't really know love until I met Judy. And I certainly didn't know about the spiritual faith that's available to me.
But he knows now. And the Dorfers are a great team serving the VFW team there in Apopka, Florida. Often on this program, we talk about key dates, key anniversaries with regard to World War II, like December 7th, June 6th, May 8th, August 14th, or even September 2nd. And a lot of you know exactly what the significance of each one of those dates is. Well, as June 25th comes and goes on the calendar this year, why not make the forgotten war a little less forgotten? Why not reach out to the veterans in your life who served in the Korean War era this weekend? There were 6.8 million of them, so chances are you might know one or two. A simple thank you means more than you know. And I want to say thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.